each one of us is special to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak something special, something in particular for each person here today. I pray that we would all have a real encounter with you, one that will be life transforming, one that will be encouraging, uplifting, comforting. And God, I ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, like I said, I want to begin by just acknowledging the fact that as with it being Father's Day, there's a lot of different things that are going on in all of us. And my desire always is to encourage, is to lift you up. My job is to equip each one of you, to help you in your journey, either towards the Lord or with the Lord once you connect with Him. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not here to try to show myself as being perfect in any way or anything like that. I'm here to encourage. And whether you had a great dad or a not so great dad or didn't have a dad, you do have a Heavenly Father. Amen. You do have a Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father can make up for any and every deficit that your earthly father didn't possess. Okay? My job is to point you to your heavenly Father. Amen. And in doing that, the things that I'm going to share with you today, you can be encouraged in your own parenting. That's why I'm saying what I'm going to share with you is it goes beyond just being a dad. It really is about parenting. It's about grandparenting. And it's also something that you can share with others to help them. Because how many of you guys would agree with me that we all need help when it comes to parenting and grandparenting? Amen? So that's really my focus. I love you guys. I understand that this is hard. But I believe that God wants to do something in all of us today. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Having said that, for me personally, being a dad is great. I love being a dad. There's the three greatest things in my life in this order is, number one, becoming a child of God. The single greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. January 1986. The second greatest thing, meeting and marrying my beautiful wife. Also 1986. It was a good year. You know, it's like a toast to 1986. It was happening. And my third greatest thing that's ever happened in my life is my two awesome kids. Being a dad is one of the greatest jobs that I've ever had. I've been blessed. I've had a lot of great jobs. I've done a lot of neat, just amazing things. I've been to amazing places in the world. I've been around amazing, world-changing people. But none of that stuff compares to my kids, to my wife, and to my God. Those are the three greatest things. And I'm super proud of my kids. And I love being a dad. Now, having said that, of course, there's times when it can be really hard too. And I think all of us can understand that. But I think that's where, if we're open to God's word, if we're open to his word, that there are things that we can learn that can help us even when those times are difficult with our kids, our grandkids. I want to start with this, Proverbs chapter 17. And by the way, how many of you guys cracked open the book of Proverbs this week? Hey, we're doing better. All right. The rest of you guys need to get with it. Proverbs 17, verse 6. I want to start here. It says, children's children are a crown to the aged. It means if you're a grandparent, your grandkids are a crown, something to be proud of, something special. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Parents are the pride of their children. Did you guys know that children have a need to feel proud of their parents? It's inherent. It's innate. They want to be proud of you. You want to be proud of your parents. You know, it's interesting. I've heard many of you, and some of you are older than I am, I've heard many of you still brag about your parents. Yeah. My mom, she used to, my dad, it's inherent. Children want to be proud of their parents. Have you ever caught your kids bragging about you? That's an awesome feeling, isn't it? And so with that in mind, I want to share with you guys three areas that you can focus on as a parent, especially as a dad. And if you have a dad that does these three things, please be sure to thank him. Be sure to thank him. If you had a dad who did these things, be sure to thank the Lord for that. And if you are a dad and you do these things, we want to honor you and thank you today for that. So here's the three things. Here's the first one. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for, number one, working so hard. Thanks for working so hard. Proverbs 14:23. I love this. It says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I love that it says all hard work, not just select hard work, not just the hard work that I quote unquote want to do or am willing to do. It literally says all of it. If you work hard, there will be a reward, the Bible says. There's going to be a profit. Something good is going to happen to you because you work hard. Now, this is one area that I think a lot of parents understand and a lot of parents do. And in case you're one of those who does work hard and you understand this, you get this, and you do this, and if you never ever hear it, let me say it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for working hard. Thank you for busting it. Thank you for doing what you have to do, man. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Thank you. Now, there's a lot of dads that miss the mark in just about every other area, but they get this. They get the fact that all hard work brings a profit. Providing for your family is so important that the Word of God has some really tough things to say if we don't do that. Probably one of the toughest ones is from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Woo! Now you can try to interpret that however you want. Good luck. But it's pretty straightforward. I mean, that's a tough word. Why would a father that doesn't provide for his family be worse than an unbeliever? Why would that be? Well, it's because even unbelievers provide for their families. Even the most heathen of people understands the need to provide for their family. Now, this probably isn't a good segue. My dad, who wasn't a Christian until literally a month before he died. So growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian situation. My dad wasn't a believer. He wasn't anti-God. He just wasn't a Christian. But my dad worked incredibly hard to provide for my brother, my sister, and myself. Even though he was in the Army, he still worked side jobs to make sure that we had everything that we needed growing up. My musical career is connected almost entirely to my dad. When I first began to teach myself how to play bass when I was 13, and my dad recognized that there was something that was happening there. My dad, I taught myself how to play bass by listening to records and copying and emulating what I was hearing. So what my dad did was he created a massive library of music for me. He created this cassette library, I mean literally hundreds of albums that he would put on cassette. And he even had a card library thing where they were all numbered, and he had this Rolodex thing where I could just go in there and pull up a card and see the name of a record and the description of it, and then go. And he bought this huge cabinet thing that he put them all in, and I would literally just come home from school, pull out a cassette, go up to my room, push play, and learn how to play an album. My dad did that for me. Wow. When I was 13. He worked a side job to be able to put all that together so that I could learn how to play the instrument. I owe so much to my dad for providing all the material things, especially that, the stuff that he did. And if your dad provided material things for you, you need to thank him, or you need to thank the Lord for the material things that he did. And if you're a parent, this is an area that you can focus on, that you provide the things that are needed. Thank you for working so hard. The second thing, thanks, Dad. Thanks for teaching and instruction. Thanks for teaching and instruction. Now, this is one thing that seems to come easy for most dads. Dads instruct their kids in lots of ways, whether it's, you know, how to ride a bike or how to hit a baseball or catch a ball or play sports, help with schoolwork, doing chores, teaching your kids how to drive. You know, dads just naturally are instructors. Dads are always yelling. telling their kids what to do, right? It's just natural, it seems. But speaking of that, it's really and really important to teach, to instruct in the right way, in the proper way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Exasperate, embitter. It has to do with the tone of your voice, the way that you instruct, the way that you teach. There's a right way that connects. Because parenting takes a lot of patience, right? Teaching takes patience. And, you know, but at the same time, it's really vital that as parents that we teach our kids. It's important. Luann and I, we've really, really worked hard at trying to teach our kids when they were younger how to do things before they left the house. You know, we taught them how to manage their money. We taught them how to cook. We taught them how to drive. We taught them how to pay their bills. We taught them things that are going to be necessary for them once they left. Parenting really is more about being a coach than it is being a critic. And that's what exasperating and embittering your kids is when it's all about being a critic. I heard a man by the name of Jim Burton. He said some things about being a father. He said, when I was young, baseball was my life. He said, "You can imagine the excitement I felt when my oldest son began playing baseball. This game, I thought, would be one of our main bonding mechanisms. If my son would just listen, I could help him be a great baseball player. Learning to read curveballs, shifting his body weight with the swing, steal bases, these things separate the amateurs from the pros." And he said, "But a pattern developed in our relationship. Because of my familiarity with the game, I saw every mistake my son made. And in addition, I knew how to correct them." He says, "So after game drives home became a critique of how to improve his game. But it soon got old for my son. And one night, he finally yelled at me, 'Dad, could you not start by telling me everything I did wrong? Tell me what I did right first.'" It's about being a coach more than being a critic. You know, Mark Twain, he said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was amazed at how much the old man learned in 7 years. Dads, just, we know how to instruct. But you should thank your father for the faithful instruction that he gave you. If your father gave you good advice, if he taught you anything, then you should thank him for that. And especially if his instruction involved the Lord. And if you're a parent, this is an important area to focus on again. Lastly, number three, thanks, Dad. Thanks for the godly example. Thanks for the godly example. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church who were his children in the faith. And notice that he doesn't say, do everything that I do. He doesn't say, do everything that I do. He basically says, do everything that I do that is Christ-like. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Do everything that I do that is Christ-like. Or follow the example of Christ. Because Paul knew that he wasn't perfect. Paul knew that everything he did wasn't necessarily Christ-like. And as parents, all of us understand that we're not perfect. I didn't get an amen on that one. Somebody's like, well, I'm personally offended by that. I'm actually perfect. We know we're not perfect, especially in our words. Yeah. And we talked about this last week, right? The fact that when I say good things, I fill my life with good things. But when I don't say good things, it creates hurt. It creates negative things that go on. As parents, we know that we're not perfect. But we do want to be able to say to our children, follow my example as I follow Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, he teaches something else that I think is really, really important for us to understand. He says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now, this passage in 1 Thessalonians isn't directly speaking about dads. But in an indirect way, I think it brings some real, real insight that I want to close with. So Paul's talking about a previous visit to the Thessalonian church. And he says, first of all, he says, you are witnesses. You're witnesses. In other words, you saw how we were when we were with you. You saw how we acted. You saw how we lived. You saw how we handled ourselves in all the different situations. And then he says, you know who we are because you saw the way we acted, the way we lived, how we were when we were with you. You saw it with your own eyes. This is really, really important. Maybe the biggest part of parenting for us as parents now and grandparents, and maybe the biggest area of pain in people's lives is because a primary role of parenting is being an example for people to see, for our kids to see. It's the primary role. A man by the name of John Robbins, he said, our children end up following our examples much more than following our advice. If you spend all your time talking, telling, yelling, and you live a different way,
yes.
Guess what? They're going to follow what you do, not what you say. Jude Nicholson, he said, in moments of stress, your children will not behave the way they have heard you tell them to behave. They will behave the way they have seen you behave. Because what they see, what we see, what you have seen influences you more than what you have heard. And there's one word that describes this, and that word is influence. It's influence. Did you know that influence is really a supernatural power that every single one of you possesses? It's a supernatural power that you have. Whether it's for your kids, your grandkids, whether it's for people that you work with, people that you go to church with, people that you live around, there is this power that you all possess. Some of you understand it, and you're using your power. You're a superhero. You're using your power now. Others of you haven't figured it out yet, but you still possess it.
Yes.
Did you know that even the definition of the word influence in the dictionary alludes to a supernatural power? When you look up the word influence, and I encourage you to do that in the dictionary, look it up. The definition is the act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. It means it's happening whether you even realize it or not. That's a supernatural power.
Yes.
You don't have to necessarily purposely do it. It's emanating from you anyway because of the way you live.
Yes, amen.
The way you talk. The way you handle certain situations and circumstances. People are watching. Whether you realize it or not. Your kids, your grandkids, they're watching. Something happens. You get a bad phone call. someone runs into your car, someone cuts you off on the freeway. How do you react? Because your kids are watching. How do you handle situations? How do they hear you talking on the phone? All of those things matter. It's all about influence. And so, and it's happening without you even realizing it. There is a power that is coming from you that's producing an effect in your kids and your grandkids. There was a power that was influencing you when you were a kid, or even still. And if your parents, if your dad was a great dad, then that was what was influencing you. That was the power that was moving and changing you and causing you to become the person that you are now. But if it wasn't good, if it was negative, or if it was absent, then that can be the case as well. But the good thing, I want to close real quick with this. 1 Thessalonians 2:10, what we just looked at. I want you to notice this. He says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." Now, he's talking about our Heavenly Father. This is how your Heavenly Father deals with you. He encourages you. He comforts you. And he urges you to live a life worthy of him. He's urging you. He's cheering for you. He's helping you along to live a life that is good, that is filled with good things. That's what you have. No matter what your earthly father's situation was, your Heavenly Father is always encouraging. That means he's never discouraging.
That's right.
Somebody needed to hear that.
Amen.
He's never discouraging, never discourages you. He's comforting. Always comfort. And he's always urging. He's always cheering. He's always blessing and going, "Yeah, come on, you can do this. You can do this." He's always positive towards you.
Amen.
Because he wants the absolute best for you. So no matter who you need to thank, whether it's your earthly father or whether it's your heavenly father, or maybe it's both, you can do that today, regardless of your situation. And if you need a hug after church today, come and get a hug. Amen? All right. Would you guys bow your heads? Father, thank you so much for your love and your goodness. God, I just want to just take a moment and allow us just to connect with you. Allow us to say thank you to you. Allow us to be thankful if we were fortunate enough to have a great dad. Allow us to hear from you, hear your encouraging, comforting words if we need that. So with everyone, with every head bowed, I just want to give you an opportunity just between you and God. I know we all have different circumstances. But I believe that God wants to minister to everyone here today in a very personal, very loving, very positive way, as only God does. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you will continue to encourage, comfort, and urge us forward in you. Pray your blessing upon your people. Pray your blessing upon this day for your people. And God, we just want to thank you for being an amazing, amazing Father for each one of us. Help us to grow closer and closer to you in every way. Help us, God, to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you, that helps others, that benefits people. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we get ready to take